Welcome to TechNori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, what is TechNori? TechNori is where startups go to showcase. We are Chicago's top startup showcase. We have our showcase next Tuesday at Chase Auditorium, beginning at 6 p.m. till 8:30. That would be Tuesday, February 28th. We are hosting our startup showcase that is dedicated to Black History Month, and we're featuring Blue 1647 founder Emile Cambry as our keynote, and five incredible African-American-led startup companies from Chicago. So if you want to get tickets, make sure you go to technori.com/events and find yourself some tickets. We can use the promo code 25% off using WGN. I hope to see you all there. But here live in studio, we have Katie Lord, katielord.com. You call yourself a startup for startups.
Yes, we are.
So I guess we get into it. First off, thank you for being a supporter of TechNori. I've seen you at many events. You've come up and that's actually how I met you.
Yeah.
I think this is really a cool and novel approach as we get into what you specifically do. As a creative design agency, I feel like a lot of them are pre-existing. Many of the companies we know that have done great work in Chicago. They're incredible design companies, app building companies, website builders, et cetera, et cetera. But they had to dial down their services and then kind of figure out a price model that could still be sustainable for themselves. And then they packaged it in a way that maybe startups could use it. And what we ended up finding out is that most startups can't afford it. And the companies themselves really couldn't afford to service that market. And I'm a person who was in that space. It was very difficult. So when I met you and you told me what you were working on, I thought it was an interesting and great opportunity to have you come on the show, because there's two pieces to this that are really exciting. Mm-hmm. One is the business being built specifically to hit one group of people, and that are startup founders. And the second is the payment structure that you've created, I think, is absolutely brilliant when it comes to how founders use stuff. Because ultimately what we're really afraid of as a founder is, send me, you know, one or two payments of $6,000 for this, and I have no idea how many use it. Yep. And there's only so much money to go around. So yep. Welcome. Yep. And let's hear more about your agency.
Thanks. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Of course.
Longtime fan, Scott.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you kind of hit it on the nose there, where we really focus on startups and small businesses. And what we do more specifically is we offer creative design services. So we do pitch presentations, graphic design, branding and identity, website design and development, and UX design, so full service. And what we wanted to do is I really wanted to find a way for creative design to be accessible to all businesses. And we did this more specifically through points-based pricing. And so what you mentioned, what that means for our clients is they purchase their points up front, they get allocated to their task list. Once they're done with their task list, then they can pause or they can continue on the project. And what that it offers an extra layer of flexibility and transparency that does not exist.
Yeah. So, I mean, to put that into terms for those who are or are not startups, you know, here's the problem, I guess, ultimately that ends up happening. I'll use not to belabor because we're trying to do a sponsor deal with them, so I don't want to be too mean. But Salesforce is an example. Like everybody who has a product or service company, they try to, you know, you need some kind of CRM. Mm-hmm. And so when we work with them, they say, okay, here's what it costs, and you can pay it full year. You can either pay it in one payment or two, essentially.
Yeah.
And I pay it, and then maybe I don't need it until X months go by. I don't. And then what happens? I've lost all my money. Maybe I learned that I don't need it for this. And so like the subscription, just the time just mm-hmm. keeps clicking. And next thing I know, I owe them again another $12,000, and I'm like still like half learning how to use their services.
Yeah.
And so you lose so much value and time. And with what you created, I can say I need these things. Mm-hmm. But as you know, in startup world, money comes, then it goes. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, oh, tons of sales, then nothing. And then you've got to, you know, we're trying to close around, and then it needs to go another month and then another month and another mm-hmm. month. And if I were to do it the way everyone else does it, I would pay my money and they would move on and I would lose services.
Mm-hmm.
In what you design, I can buy the service package from you, buy the points from
yes.
you, and utilize them as they come for my needs. And yep. if I need to pause for a minute and say, listen, we need to go back to raise around or whatever mm-hmm. the deal, I can go back in and not have lost everything that I had started with you.
Yeah, exactly. It really adds in that extra layer of flexibility that is absolutely crucial to startups and small businesses where, so I have an agency background. So, and I also was previously a marketing manager at a company called SMS Assist.
Oh, yes. You had them on here.
Yeah, like yeah. It. So awesome company. They're doing phenomenal. They're now a unicorn.
They are one of Chicago's unicorns. Uh-huh. The Goldman Sachs, $150 million investment. We had Rothman, the CEO, on here. I want to say it was maybe end of the summer. Right, it was right after they did raise the round.
Yeah, no, I saw the show. It was great. So in my experience, having both hired and worked at agencies, there's kind of a common ground that issue that I kept running into, and the first thing was scope of work, and then also flexibility and transparency of communication. And so in the instance that, say, using your Salesforce example, you purchase your website up front, and then 4 weeks later, you maybe hear back from them again. It's like, no, this isn't exactly what I was looking for. Yep. And then maybe it's just like a feature or like content that's missing that you thought was going to be in the original scope of work that is not included.
Yep.
So then in that instance, now you're being charged out of scope for how many buku dollars an hour to actually get your project done. And so at that point, the agency isn't happy. The client isn't happy. It's just not a good situation.
Yeah. And that was kind of what I was alluding to in the intro here. I mean, most of the large agencies, even if they're not large, boutique agencies, they're designed financially, the way that their model works is that they may have a handful of contractors that they use for side stuff and like pouring over the table type of stuff. But for the most part, they've got their core team and they know exactly what their hourly rate has to be. Mm-hmm. And so they close a deal with some large company. Most companies run a budget knowing full well that like if they have to really rein it in, they'll like get their stuff together and scope of work is a little bit tighter. But for the most part, and people don't want to hear this, especially investors, most of the time, there's thousands of dollars of runover of like, well, Frank decided to change his mind today, and so now we're going to go a different direction.
Yeah.
And that's okay for them. And that's the model that we've all come to utilize.
Yeah.
But in startup world, that's not how it works. We only have a finite number of dollars that we can spend, and most of the people aren't eating or they're not,
hopefully they're eating.
Well, I mean, they are, but I mean, they're overpaying for Freshy, which tastes like garbage, but I mean, I'm just kidding. I like Freshy sort of, but I don't actually, but I like the idea of Freshy.
Yeah.
We're off topic. Point is, it's a struggle and we need agencies that we're working with to be able to turn on the gas on the things that we need to turn them on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What I call that is marketing one-to-one at scale.
Yeah.
So
much more succinct way of saying it.
Yeah. So as you grow, we grow with you as well. On the scope of work topic, there's certain words that I don't even want my business model to be associated with. So the first thing is scope of work. We have complete flexibility. So what that would mean is you have tasks 1 through 5 on your priority list, and then 2 weeks later you come back to me and say that, oh, I need 5, 6, and 7. Great, no problem. Let's figure out how many more points, if any, you're going to need for your project, and we'll make it happen.
Very cool.
And then another one is, the point system also alleviates the conversation from a freelance perspective, like what's your hourly rate or your fixed project cost? So we don't have to address any of that stuff. And turning it into points-based pricing has really like made the conversation so much more clear and succinct.
I think it's absolutely genius how you do that. How did you do that? Like, how did you come to realize that a points model is the way? Because I would have never thought of that, that I could use points as like a flexibility to sort of remove the hassle of back and forth between things and like the sort of sub-negotiation that goes on.
Yeah.
You removed it entirely by just going, no, you have so many points and I don't care how you use them, but that's all you got.
No, exactly. And it's definitely been a process. Where I am today is completely different than where I was last year.
Yep.
And now I've figured it out, hopefully, so that we're ready to start really selling and scaling Katie Lord Inc. But it was really just trying to figure out how to eliminate what I like scope of work, fixed project cost, hourly rate, all of those things out of the conversation. So for a while I was playing around with, oh, you're going to book your design sprint. And then at the end of 2 weeks, like your project is up, and that ended up not working out very well. Another conversation that I was thinking about having was maybe turning it into like a bank of hours.
Yep.
But then that's still brought into the hourly rate yep. conversation. And so I wanted to have something that was not related to any of those things more specifically.
Nothing beats an arbitrary number.
Yeah.
So I guess now that we've kind of gone through sort of the business side of it, I guess, or I shouldn't say that, but like the user experience side of it.
Yeah.
On a business front, the two questions that I sort of had for you was, one, going with the route as a design person, mm-hmm. going with the route, and I understand why, Katie Lord Inc.,
yeah.
going with the route of your name, how do you, or is it sort of part of the model? Like, how do you brand and expand and mm-hmm. scale a business around presumably just you, but it's mm-hmm. not. There's other people yeah. working. It's like, it's sort of, to me, when I saw the company name, and it was like, it's sort of like an ode to the old day advertising.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
The one person's like, that was the inspiration. Uh-huh. This was the person who was the guy or girl who was the inspiration behind this. And then we just, now we all just stamp it Leo Burnett.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I also was thinking about that even with my branding for my company,
yeah.
Whereas a lot of agencies now, it's pretty much just choose your sans serif font, your color block, and then you're good to go.
Give me a name, .ly, and yeah. then that's who we are.
Yeah, .io, domain name, .io. Or something. I wanted to still try and differentiate myself, and yep. so I did that by kicking it old school and using my signature and Katie Lord as the name of the company.
Congrats, by the way, on the legible signature.
Thanks.
It turned out to be a huge asset for you, yeah, as it's now your brand, your logo.
Took some practice, but we got it.
And so the second piece of this, so that's cool. I mean, actually, I really think it's unique. It's funny how, I don't remember what show we were talking about this, but it's funny. You know, I do remember. It was Tackle Box. Okay. Our friends at Tackle Box
yeah.
Were in here, and we were talking about how cyclical mm-hmm. sort of design and things are, like the beards and everything and the long, shaggy hair. Oh, that reminds me of the 70s. And as we start to move into like the past 5 to 10 years, it has been very like, I don't want to say that cocky was out, but cocky mm-hmm. was out. Like if you were super sort of, you know, all broed out, like that was not going to fly.
Yeah.
But then in the 80s, like being a bro, like that was super cool.
Yeah.
I think we're heading back into this mark where like people are kind of broing it out again. And design and business is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
What fonts and things were popular 6-7 years ago are starting to come back in again. The old school style, the branding, and using sort of like a personal relationship thing like you did with Katie Lord
yeah.
is coming back into style. So it's really cool to see like a version of that again.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks.
So the other part of this is you are scaling the business.
I am.
So how have you been able to offer things from all the way on one side of design to all the way on the other side of execution, which are, you know, universally different and difficult to manage?
So it's been really interesting seeing how my point system is being used by different people. So my point system used by startups, a lot of the conversation that we have with them starts off with a pitch presentation. And so the companies or the clients that we've worked with have pitched on stages like Technori,
yep.
And they've also achieved over $50 million in funding. So our design and marketing efforts work.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then, so we start the conversation off with the pitch presentation. We'll give them a set number of points, allocate them to their task list. Once they're done with the project, a lot of times they'll pause while they're pitching. But then we have the relationship established. So then once they get their funding, they'll be able to come back to us and we can work on their larger projects like their branding and identity and website design and development and UX design.
But and how do you manage that though? Like, how many people do you have working for you now?
Yeah.
Is it sort of the subcontractor mix or is it like, how do you manage the growth of your company and the stability of your brand and
yeah.
you know,
so
quality and so forth?
It's a lot of hustling.
I'm sure.
Absolutely. But I'm hiring right now full time for a sales and business development lead. So anybody who's interested, please reach out to me. So I'm looking to grow my team that way. Otherwise I do work with freelancers right now. But I'm hoping to slowly start to bring people on full time. That would fit perfectly with my business model.
Every smart yeah. founder starts off with hiring sales.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I'm serious. If you talk to a lot of, I mean, I've had interviewed like 300 companies
yeah.
and it's always funny to me. I of course break my own rules, but it's always funny to me that the companies, some of them that come on here, it's like so obvious that without the salesperson, like this is not going to scale ever.
Yeah.
And yet they don't hire salespeople. They hire more designers, more engineers, more whatever. And it's
yeah.
like, you've got the people here to handle the capacity. now you don't have anyone to sell the product.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's always the hard part of being a founder of a company is figuring out what the perfect mix will be.
Yeah.
Between that. But we also, so not only do we work with startups, we also do work with some partnered agencies where we also kind of work as like a plug and play UX design team.
Yep.
So that's why I said it's interesting the way people are starting to use our system and how that's attracting different types of audiences.
I was going to say, yeah. I feel like this is a logical, and for your standpoint, like you don't want to get too off the course, but like I feel like this is a logical plug into companies that I was just talking about who have a hard time serving them, that they could still get some of that market share if they just used you.
Yep, exactly. So it works really well. And also for our target audience, I say we're really focused on startups that have gone through their seed funding or their Series A funding, where they're maybe looking to hire a full-time designer or agencies that maybe don't have don't need specific design services all the time, that we work as like just joining their team and kind of like a plug and play type of option for them.
Absolutely. So I guess as we come out here, the last thing I'd ask is sort of what can the community do for you? You've been in the show or in the showcase many times to watch. And I know that you've built a company that is definitely built for startup companies. So it's obvious. What would you like to see from the startup community with regard to how they use you and how they interact with you?
Yeah, so I'm always looking for feedback. please tell me everything. You can always iterate and always grow. And that's really what my goal is for this next year, to grow my team and then also continue to hone in on my pitch and my technology that I offer. But when I network, I say I'm looking for really three different things. So obviously anyone that can utilize our services. So if you hear of anyone who says that, hey, I have an idea, I'm not really sure where to take it, talk to Katie Lord. We'll be able to help you out and figure out what the next steps will be for you. Otherwise, I'm looking for anyone who has founded their own agency that I can bring on as a mentor and learn from their story and learn from their experience. Tell me what I'm doing wrong, essentially.
Yeah.
And then also any sort of strategic partnership beyond that. So we are a sponsor of Midwest Women in Tech Conference coming up here in March, put on by Women Tech Founders, which I know Technori is a partner with. So I highly recommend that you guys attend that. And so it's really just figuring out what those strategic partnerships could be for Katie Lord Inc. as well.
Very cool. And I have to, of course, shamelessly plug that in March we're going to be doing with Women Tech Founders.
Yeah.
We're going to also be doing a female founders event. Our keynote has already been announced. I think it's Christy Ross from Tasty Trade, Tasty Works. And we are going to be having a stage entirely dedicated and devoted to female founders. So that's going to be, I want to say, March 28th, I'm guessing. Last Tuesday of March. That's what I know.
I love it.
Where do people go to find you? KatieLordInc.com, I assume?
KatieLord.com.
KatieLord.com.
Yeah. Ooh, they both would work, but.
Yeah. I'm sure you bought all of them.
Yes.
And on social media, where do people follow you?
So that would be on Twitter, KatieLordInc, Facebook, KatieLordInc as well. Follow me on LinkedIn. I'm still Katie Lord on LinkedIn as well.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Haven't found the ink part yet.
You haven't? No.
Just kidding. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you so much. Awesome. I appreciate it.
Yep.